there's many that want to unseat him. They tried to take him out through impeachment. They failed. And now they're trying to use, the virus to do the same. And it's not going to work.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my interview with Nick Langworthy, the chair of the New York State Republican Committee. We spoke Tuesday morning. Langworthy is in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Republican National Convention.
Yesterday, we cast the votes for the president and the vice president. We had a delegation of six on location, in Charlotte, and it is not the same. I mean, there's no way about that. But this has been one of the victims of COVID-19, are the in-person political conventions. I'm glad that our party did move ahead with a very safe alternative to the full convention, because I do think that it was very important to gather as a party to cast those votes. It's required under our rules. We can't go virtual. As the Democrats did, but I also think it gives us an advantage having people, working together, sharing information, and I think it gives a great boost. Now, the primetime coverage last night, I thought was just outstanding, and it was very well produced, top-notch, and the speakers, I was so inspired by Tim Scott's message last night, telling his family's story. I think that you're going to see very good reviews coming out of this week's convention.
I want you to make the case for us for President Trump's reelection.
Well, the funny thing is you watched last week's convention, and it was just all about personality, and it was all about how they just don't like the president. Well, it's been very clear that the other side hasn't gotten over the 2016 election results, but the people spoke. And, President Trump won the Electoral College by a significant margin. And we have seen nothing but obstruction this whole time. Up until the coronavirus in a pandemic, we had record low unemployment. We had a stock market that was off the charts. We had so many good things going in this country. And then even, with the pandemic in his face, the president has faced that head on. He shut down travel from China. He went and opened up massive amounts of PPE and ventilators to take care of states where, including our own state of New York, the president, and I want to refute what Governor Cuomo said at his convention, calling the president's leadership, he called it incompetent. Yet I could play you video directly where Governor Cuomo profusely thanked the president and said that the federal government delivered in a big way for the people of the state of New York by bringing the USS Comfort, by bringing the Army Corps of Engineers to build makeshift hospitals around the downstate area. I mean, these were things where the federal government stood up and gave New York everything they needed at our darkest hour. And to now see the revisionist history 3 months later, it's disheartening and it's disingenuous. President Trump has put us front and center on trade deals. We are in a better position strategically than we've been in a very long time. Now, I will acknowledge there are plenty of people that don't maybe like the president's personality. They don't like his style. But I will say that he's not been elected to be your neighbor. He's been elected to be a leader, and he has provided that leadership, and we need another 4 years of that leadership.
Since you've raised it, let me push back a little bit on the coronavirus, because despite what the federal government may have given to New York during the highest part of the wave there, the big spike, the president, he initially dismissed it. He said it would go away. You snap your fingers, the virus will go away. He said at certain points, that it was a hoax. And now, the death toll is up over 150,000 people. I mean, don't you think voters might hold that against him?
No one is downplaying the death toll. Every one of those deaths is a tragedy, including many of them here in this state. You could play tape back of every elected leader, and there was no one that forecasted what has happened to this country. The virus that emanated in China and came to this country has devastated our economy. It has devastated a lot of families. I mean, we have a lot of very heroic first line workers that really stepped up and put themselves on the line here. So there's obviously, you could go back and nitpick comments people have made, but every leader, whether it's Bill de Blasio telling people, live your lives, go to the movies, Andrew Cuomo saying, we don't think it's going to be that big a deal. Yes, you can go back and second guess every single leader, but it's what did they do when things went forward? The president immediately went to work assembling PPE, using the War Production Act to ramp up American companies to go build and create PPE ventilators, all of the things that we needed to get through the darkest hours of this crisis. He sped up the ability for us to create a vaccine, unprecedented funding in the Warp Speed initiative that will put massive amounts of the vaccine once it's approved front and center. I believe the president is we need his leadership because he's a business leader that understands cutting through red tape is the most important thing to get forward. And that's what you see the difference between how he's a champion for reopening our economy and getting back to normal as quickly as we can and as safely as we can versus so many of the Democrat leaders that want perpetual lockdowns. They want to promote a world where our kids...
Who wants perpetual lockdowns?
You look at every blue state, we see, pick up the newspaper, you see what's going on to businesses in the city of New York right now. They have a governor that is picking and choosing winners and losers based on what he felt like announcing that day. There's no science involved with the fact that New York City restaurants aren't allowed to have indoor dining where they are in the rest of the state of New York. There are decisions that are being made that make no sense.
Last thing on coronavirus, because I do have other things to ask you about, but isn't it, I mean, you're saying other leaders were slow to deal with this, but he's the president. It's his job to coordinate a federal response to the coronavirus. And I mean, looking back at the record, that was very slow to get off the ground. I mean, a lot of experts who've looked at the numbers.
I firmly disagree with you. The president shut down travel from China right away. Joe Biden, the nominee of the Democrat Party, called him a xenophobe and a racist because he shut down travel from China. Every one of the Democratic leaders attacked him as a racist and a xenophobe when he shut down travel from China. That saved millions of lives. That is nonsense to say that was not bold action. And then we shut down travel from Europe. I mean, these things were quick initiatives. This was not a dithering. This is drastic, and it happened, and it happened quickly. So there's many that want to unseat him. They tried to take him out through impeachment. They failed, and now they're trying to use the virus to do the same, and it's not going to work. People see through this.
Okay, to that end, Joe Biden's leading in a lot of national polls and in some key states right now. How does President Trump and how does your party turn that around?
Well, Hillary Clinton led in all the polls leading up to the 2016 election. So we've seen time and again the pollsters, especially those that are affiliated with the news agencies, had a real hard time forecasting the election in 2016 because there was an awful lot of surprised and sad people the next day when their candidate didn't win the election. So I do believe that they're one, you've seen a tightening even in their polling. Internal polling that I hear about, from the campaign is looking excellent. This is, the national polls don't really matter all that much. It's the electoral polls. It's the key swing states and the action that's taking place. And, as we're here at the RNC talking about what the plan is to go win states like North Carolina and Wisconsin and Arizona and Minnesota and Pennsylvania, those are the states that matter. I believe the ground game the president's assembled is second to none that's ever been created. We do have in-person campaigning. The Democrats do not. They refuse to do so. So I view that the president, is going to get a big lift coming out of this convention week. I think the messaging is going to unite people of all party affiliations. I mean, even some disaffected Democrats. that voted for him last time.
Trump mused in an interview with the New York Post that he might win New York State. He'd be the first Republican to do that since 1984. Are you really contesting New York on the presidential level? It seems hard to imagine.
Well, we haven't worked with a campaign to launch a massive, voter effort with a statewide campaign. But there's an awful lot of work going on in congressional districts, state Senate districts, assembly districts, and on down. And we have full partnership from the Trump campaign on that. I think that the president's point is, and that was the day before he received the endorsement of the NYPD. You see the safety and security issue. It's front and center, not just, in New York, even though what's happening in this state, because of the revolving door criminal justice policies of Andrew Cuomo and the Democratic Party, have created a culture where, riots and looting is in massive crime has become a mainstay now, and shootings are up in almost every one of our urban settings. But you see what's going on, right now, Kenosha, Wisconsin. I mean, things being burnt to the ground. I mean, the lawlessness that's permeating underneath the surface, none of it was addressed in the Democratic convention. They just glossed right over it because it doesn't fit their political narrative. We have to, and it's our job, to make sure that people understand what's on the ballot. You know, Republicans in this country stand with law enforcement. We stand with our police. We don't defund the police. We defend the police. And there are so many great men and women in uniform that go out there, do their jobs to protect our families. And they're getting attacked by, the extreme left that runs so much of our state government, but also, the extremists in Congress. Those are the people that we're on the ballot against. Biden won't refute them. Joe Biden won't call that out. Joe Biden won't set the record straight because he's afraid of that left flank in his own party that he can't get a hold of.
Don't you think the people who are protesting have a legitimate gripe after seeing so many people of color who, video footage has shown were not in the wrong, being hurt or killed this summer? I mean, the calls for reforming police have been kind of national here.
I was one of the first Republicans in the country to speak out about the George Floyd matter. I mean, this was a tragedy. There was no one defending the police in that situation. There are bad actors in every sector. There's bad radio hosts. There's bad people in every element of life. Those cops were bad cops. They're being prosecuted. But to paint every police officer with that brush is a disservice to civilized society, because you're teaching young people that the police are a bad entity when there are some bad actors. I mean, we saw it, years ago in L.A. There were bad cops, and those cops didn't get brought to justice. And we had riots, and we had, bad situations. But internally, they reformed that system. You don't see people saying that every officer of the LAPD was a bad person. There were some bad actors in there. Of course, there were bad cops in Minneapolis that did the wrong thing there. But no one hates a bad cop more than a good cop. And are you gonna be comfortable if someone breaks into your house to call a social worker, or are you gonna call the cops? That's the question that the voters have to ask themselves this year. When we defund the police, it's pretty tough to talk about why someone decided to hurt your family and make a crime in the moment. I mean, these are things that you have to try to do to prevent the crime in the first place. But we need our police, and we need to stand with our police to keep our streets safe and to keep our families safe.
You, while the delegates were being awarded on Monday during the RNC, you said that violence on the streets is what will be happening under a Biden-Harris administration. What did you mean by that? Because I don't see the Democratic Party saying we want violence on the streets here. I mean, I think they haven't gone anywhere close to that statement.
Of course, they're not going to campaign on that issue. But have you seen them condemning the things that are happening? Is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, are they out there calling for an end to what's going on in the streets of Wisconsin right now? Hell no, they're not, because they will not offend the extreme left in their own party. The problem with the modern Democratic Party is they've abandoned common sense. You know, the regular Joe at home that's just trying to live his life, you know, raise a family, you know, hopefully put him through college, that's gone. We're pandering to extremes. And that is what has happened. And that is why I said that. And I stand by that, because you don't have any sort of appetite to curb the violence in the streets of our major cities in the country. And now it's permeating into secondary, smaller cities. You know, Kenosha, Wisconsin, not exactly a big city. It's completely under siege. Those people.
They watched a local black man be shot in the back by police this week on camera.
Okay. Does that allow the rest of the populace to go burn down other people's property? Does that allow you to just terrorize the rest of your neighbors? Or do you address that? Do you prosecute? The answer to everything that you don't like or that might be an injustice is not to harm others. It is not to harm your fellow citizen. And that's what's going on in these cities. And you don't see any condemning of that from the Democratic Party. So I am proud, and I stand by every word I said on the floor of the convention.
Do you think the Republican Party has also pandered to extremists? And I'm thinking, as I ask this question, of the president being asked directly about the QAnon conspiracy theory in recent days after a QAnon believer won a primary race for the House in Georgia. The president didn't disavow those conspiracy theorists, which are really on the fringes.
No, I watched the president's whole interview, and he doesn't know much about QAnon. I don't know much about QAnon because I don't spend my time Googling, conspiracy theories. And for the media to be so obsessed with, you know, that sort of conspiracy theory, when we know that our major cities, even in upstate New York, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, we know in our Democrat mayors have said as much, that Antifa or outside agitators came in to start riots in our streets. You didn't see much coverage of that. But everyone that wants to talk about QAnon, something that most Americans, if you ask them what they wouldn't know what the hell it was. And I don't care what – it's not a movement that I think has any sort of legs or people, are going to be thinking about when they go to the polls this year. They're going to think about what's best for their family.
I hear that. I think most I agree with you. I think most Americans don't know about it or care about it. But one of the 435 members of Congress is going to be an adherent to QAnon, apparently.
And we have members of Congress that are radical socialists and people that are Antifa apologists. I mean, some that have won primaries this year. I mean, we heard about it last night during the convention that the person that won the Democratic primary in St. Louis was the lead agitator outside the home of the McCluskeys. And that's now going to be a member of Congress. So we're responsible for the seats in Congress here. I don't know anyone. I don't know QAnon. I don't know anything about QAnon. And I'm not going to waste any brain cells Googling it.
Let me go to another topic. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik is going to address the convention on Wednesday night. She's obviously a big supporter of the president. She defended him during the impeachment trial. In 2016, she didn't go to the convention at all, and she just referred to him as the party's nominee. So can you shed some light on her change in terms of dealing with President Trump and what you expect to hear from her on Wednesday night?
I think there was a lot of people that were suspect of the president going into the convention last time. I mean, not opening up old wounds, there's plenty of people that didn't jump on board right away. And they may not have done anything to campaign, you know, for him or with him until he won. Elise Stefanik, you're not going to find a more loyal defender of President Trump at this point in the Congress. I mean, Nikki Haley became the UN ambassador and, was a speaker in prime time on night one of the convention. She was far from a supporter of President Trump. during the 2016 election. But President Trump has earned that support of people working across the aisle. You know, and people might not appreciate every single tweet. They may not like everything he says or does. But the results don't lie. And in what he's done, and he's done it despite a media that's been trying to unhinge him every single day, a Democrat Party that gave him zero honeymoon period, that tried to stop his nominees for the cabinet, that has obstructed him from minute one. They were planning his impeachment from minute one of his administration. Yet he's got a tremendous amount of accomplishments. So, you know, I think Elise Stefanik grew greatly in fame nationally when she not only defended the president, but defended the Constitution of the United States of America by calling out Adam Schiff's nonsense during that impeachment trial. I mean, it was a hack partisan trial, and it was stopped. But this was all preordained that impeachment was going to happen. They were just going to find something that they could claim was an impeachable offense. It failed. It failed miserably. I got to tell you, it's with everything that's gone on since that impeachment, I think most people have forgotten about it.
Talk to me about the New York State Senate. The Republicans are in the minority after controlling the chamber for a long, long time. What races are you looking at to flip back this year?
There are so many races as you look at it. There's a tremendous amount of battleground races on Long Island. We have races in Western New York. I mean, there's really in every single media market in major metro area in the state, we have critical races for the state Senate. We lost and lost miserably in 2018. I mean, it's part of the reason I ran for chairman. I saw the devastation that the loss of the Senate had put on the Republican Party. We went from 33-32 majority to, you know, down to 23 seats. So, you know, we are working day and night to, you know, recapture some of those seats that were lost and hopefully make, you know, God willing, a good run at taking that majority back. I mean, it's a lot of ground to cover. But I think that with a lot of the issues that are at the forefront, we have the opportunity, you know, to capture ground because people see what's happened with unbridled Democratic control. I mean, most importantly, the elimination of cash bail in the discovery reform that was put in place in the budget, not this year, but the year before, in the first budget slammed through by Andrea Stewart Cousins, Carl Hastie, and Andrew Cuomo. Those reforms have made us less safe as New Yorkers. It's allowed people that if they're rioting and they're arrested or they're looting and they're arrested, they go right back out the door with their appearance ticket that means nothing to them, and they go and they do it again the next day. You rob a bank, you go back out and rob another bank the other day. We were talking about this all back in January and February before the virus set in. It was the number one issue on the minds of New Yorkers, and the governor's negatives in the polls kept ticking up as people were talking about these. I mean, he was running away from it. And other than a little cosmetic fix where they helped the judges a little bit, nothing's been changed. So we have a lot of issues to run on, and we will be doing that this year.
Since you've raised it, I want to end on this question. You replaced Ed Cox. You barnstormed the state to get the local support of the local Republican leaders to take over the state party. Is there a certain outcome you need in this fall's election to retain the support of local Republican leaders?
The minute I have to sit and worry about keeping the job is when I know I'm not effective. So we just are going to pour everything we have, every ounce of energy, and you know every waking hour we can into winning these elections. We have, I believe, 69 days to do that. Time is growing very short. And I have been the best chairman that I can be, especially in the middle of a global pandemic. I think that we have a very united party right now around the state. So we are working extraordinarily hard against tough odds. I don't have the special interest money that Andrew Cuomo's Democratic Party has. I mean, they have unlimited spigots of cash. They control all the levers of power. You know, we're depending on people's patriotism to get involved, to help take back their state, not in the name of some right-wing agenda. We're fighting for common sense, a common sense agenda for New York that can unite people of all party affiliations. If you feel that your party has walked away from you because, you know, they're pandering to the extreme left, and if you watch TV and you see that lawlessness in the streets and you see that your Democratic leaders aren't doing anything about it, we are here for you. We will, give you a better government. You know, you can feel comfortable voting Republican this year up and down the ballot.
What's your percent confidence level that President Trump will win re-election?
I don't play those hypothetical games. I know he's
but they're fun.
They're fun, and that's what your job is, not mine. That's for pundits. I'm not a pundit. I'm a combatant. So we are working every day. The president's team is working every single day to put the best campaign on the field they can.
Nick Langworthy is chair of the New York State Republican Committee, speaking to us from Charlotte, North Carolina, the site of the RNC. Nick, thank you so much for taking all of this time. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Take care.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Stay safe. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.